is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show. Some good texts there. I have a lot of respect for people that want to officiate, especially at the high school level. My goodness. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, did you ever officiate or do anything like that?
I did a first-person story one time when I was at the Reporter Herald umpiring. And it was interesting. I was doing like a 13-year-old travel league game. I did the first game behind the plate because it was the game that didn't matter, which was smart. And then I had two veteran umpires sitting behind me just heckling me the whole time. So that was, I did work the field later, but yeah, you're right. It's hard and it can be brutal. And yeah, they don't make a lot of money. And I think I just read a story recently in Colorado. They make virtually no money and they take a ton of abuse from fans in the stands who go ahead, strap it up. Go ahead, put on a whistle and go out there one time and see how you like it. See how easy it is to call fouls or balls and strikes. Yeah, it's not fun.
I can't imagine, Mike. I seriously can't. I always watch games, too, and I'm like, how do they – there's certain calls they get that I don't see and all of that. But what drives me – you're saying it was a 13-year-old, like 13-year-old. Some of those games are like the most like dangerous ones to be around, too. Those parents get after it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, you know, back – It was before 2000. There was an umpire in Loveland that was doing a youth league game at the Centennial Complex, and somebody didn't like the call, argued. The guy ended up getting beat up, you know, like taken down by a coach and a team. He was in the hospital. It's nasty. And back then there was, you know, no social media. You weren't seeing that. But, man, it was awful, and now you see it. Happened way too often. You know, people post videos of it, umpires getting yelled at, and then coaches charging them, you know, parents charging them. It's a thankless job.
Mike, I was telling a story before we got you on, too. In my neck of the woods out in eastern Colorado, there was a football game. They had to wait for the refs to get there to finish a game they'd already done because they couldn't get enough officials for that one football game. So it's like, until these parents start treating them with some respect, I'm not saying you can't boo once in a while and say bad call, but like the stuff you're talking about, taking it to that next level, until we start treating these people like people, we're going to keep seeing it. It's going to be tough to get referees to come out to your game.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. The parent equation is part of it. I think the pay, like I said, I just read that story.
Yeah.
I think Colorado's among the lowest pay in the nation for high school officials. And yeah, it's just, you know, if you're going to take that kind of abuse, I mean, you're not going to get rich doing it, and none of them do it to get rich. A lot of them do it because they love the game. Like, I used to love to talk to the wrestling officials. A lot of them were former wrestlers, and they just wanted to stay involved with the sport. And they liked it, you know, and they'll get chewed on because there's some intricate calls on a wrestling mat, you know, whether or not it's two or three near fall, if it was a pin, you know, if a guy's, you know, stalling, things like that. But yeah, it's, they don't make a ton of money, but they do it for the love of it. But, you know, the people in the stands can really suck the love out of something really quick.
No question. Yeah, you're right. People have to really just love to officiate to want to be a part of that. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, the Rams, don't look now. They're 2-1 in the conference. They beat Hawaii 17-13. And how about Avery Morrow? He's my player of the week again. The first one to get this amazing, prestigious award twice this season. Three games in a row, over 100 yards for him.
Well, it's funny because I interviewed Avery yesterday, and he was near tears that you'd selected him twice this season. He was first round.
Did he have an acceptance speech prepared?
It meant so much to him. No, it's amazing. Like, I went back and looked. In this offense, Jay has never called a game where he's had 3 weeks in a row where a running back has had 20-plus carries, let alone get 100 yards. I mean, never before has the air raid been called that way. So I give credit to two people. Jay, one, for calling the offense with what he has and doing what he does instead of trying to stuff a, you know, square peg into a round hole. Two, a lot of credit to Avery, because you got to remember, the Rams have started three different running backs. He was the second one. Bailey got a start the week after. But this is a kid that is taking advantage of the opportunity that's been given him and really put the team on his back and really shouldered the load for this offense, which needed to find a way to move the chains. They still need to find a way to finish drives, but at least, you know, he's helping them, you know, control time of possession, give the defense a rest because the defense has been playing so well. But this kid's just been amazing.
I think that's a great point, too, about Jay Norvell. I mean, all we talked about was Fort Air Raid and this new style. And you always ask that question of college coaches or whatever. Are you more of a, hey, do you just utilize what you have, or are you going to force them to go into your system no matter how early? And again, I do fully believe that Jay Norvell's, we're going to see this Fort Air Raid the way it's supposed to be at some point. But you're right. That just shows great leadership, great coaching to say, hey, I'm acknowledging something that's working. It's not really our style, but we're going to go with it, and we're going to go win a couple of football games with it.
Yeah, Kevin Lytle and I were joking today at practice. This is what Steve Adazio wanted his offense to look like, this ability to run the ball. I mean, you go back, they're averaging more yards per game on the ground. Adazio's offense has never had a running back that averaged 4 yards a carry. You know, Avery's blowing that away. It's great, and it's not just the yards he's getting, it's how he's getting them. The 26-yard touchdown run against Utah State, he made people miss, he ran over people, he broke tackles. The 10-yard run that was the game-winning touchdown in this past game, straight up the middle, but he took a couple different kids with him, and he hit a spin move down towards the end and then pushed a couple guys across with him to get into the end zone. He's setting a tone with the way he's playing that has a ripple effect over the rest of his team.
No doubt. It's been fun to see him do it. Two more touchdowns added on in the win over Hawaii. What do you make of the line right now? CSU, Boise State, last 27.5, Mike? I mean, that's crazy.
It's a lot of points. Colorado State's defense has been playing really well. And Boise State's running backs, I think they're very talented, and they generally – I've always thought the run game is overlooked a lot with some of the backs that they've had just because people go to their passing attack. But both of their backs, they seem dinged up, and there might be some question about whether one or both of them are out. You're still going to leave Taylen Green. You know, do they run more with quarterback and Green can? But that's a big line. But then again, you start looking at the history of the series. Colorado State's 0-11 against Boise State. It is at Boise State. Colorado State has not been able to score points. Two defenses going at it. Yeah, it's just I think it's a big line, especially for the Mountain West, and as chaotic as it's been this year. But, I mean, some of it you can kind of see. I mean, Boise State, at least before last week, was scoring. They'd hit a couple games with 35, 40 points. So their offense is capable of doing that. I just don't know if it's still as productive if both of those backs are, one, dinged up, or two, if neither one of them plays.
Does it feel like the Rams are kind of turning that corner, though? And I know there's wins now to talk about against Hawaii, finding a way to get that one done. They beat Nevada a couple of weeks ago. It was a competitive game against Utah State. Are you seeing that? And again, it's obvious. Avery Morrow's running the ball like crazy. Defense is playing great. But are you starting to see some of those things click with the passing game that I think ultimately we're going to see maybe late this year, maybe even into next year?
Yes. So you look for the subtle things. I thought Clay's return last week, he was much better with the ball, made better decisions. He ran for 50-some yards because he could. He wasn't forcing things. He threw the ball away on a couple of occasions where he probably wouldn't have earlier in the year. He's still completing 70-some percent of his passes. He missed 40 deep at one point. It was the one time they threw it, but for the most part, he's making the right decisions. They're still building up to, you need to hit some of those crossing routes with the guy in stride, not making him reach back or in front for the ball. So he has some momentum going for it, and he did that a couple of times in the game. But they need to get more yardage generated out of that passing game. So you're starting to see some signs with that, and I think that'll start to happen as his decision-making improves. Again, he did not have a turnover in that game, and he had a fumble and an interception, I believe, in each of the first three games that he started. So that was a positive sign. The running game, obviously, with Avery will help. The other signs you're looking for is the defense being able to play well, and they've played great in conference play. And so you are. You're seeing some things that are giving you some hope. What they're not doing yet is stringing together consistency when it comes to finishing drives. Last week they played complimentary. I think the last 3 weeks they've played complimentary football, and that's also a positive sign.
Well, we'll see if they can keep showing us those positive signs down this home stretch here of games. Mike, always appreciate you, my man. What are you working on that we can check out at CSURams.com?
I'm actually working on an Avery Morrow story right now that'll come out later today. And then a look at the defense that we'll do. And then did a piece on, it's for you cross-country fans, Colorado State's got two ranked teams as they head to the Mountain West Championships. It's been a while. It's been since 2004 since they've gotten both the men and the women to the national championships. And they have a chance to do that this year.
I appreciate all you do for Colorado State, my friend. And we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, take care.
Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. 12:49 the time. Let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.